This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is James Gattuso, Senior Fellow in Regulatory Policy at the Heritage Foundation here in Washington. As the U.S. Senate gets ready for a major procedural vote later today, we want to get his thoughts on just who will be paying the tab on this new regulatory fix for Wall Street. And James, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Well, the Heritage Foundation has taken a close look at this $50 billion plus fund that's going to be set up if the Democrats get their way here to make sure that, as they say it, taxpayers are no longer on the hook for companies that need to be bailed out because they're too big to fail. You and your colleagues have come to the conclusion, though, that it's the American taxpayers on the hook for this. Explain why.
What the bill does is provide for bailouts of creditors of firms that are failing, which can be quite large in itself. The AIG failure involved monies being transferred over to Goldman Sachs and Deutsche Bank and other creditors of a then-failing firm. Under the proposal down in the Senate, those bailouts would be paid for by a tax on large banks in America, large financial firms in America. The argument is, well, the average taxpayer won't be affected because it's only the big guys that are paying. But what happens in every instance of taxation like this is that the actual person who foots the bill is the average American, either in terms of higher consumer prices, less credit available, less employment, and even in their position as investors in their mutual funds or retirement plans. It's not just the big guys that pay. The average American ultimately foots the bill for any sort of tax like this.
Well, what kind of tax amount are we looking at here? Obviously, it could vary depending on which company might be in trouble. But if all these big firms are paying taxes essentially to create this fund, how much more could we be looking at?
A lot more. The fund itself right now has a dollar amount of $50 billion on it, which is big by anyone's measure. But a lot of people are saying that that's not enough. There have been arguments made by some supporters that the fund should at least have $300 billion. This is conceivably basically an indefinite amount of money that has been proposed.
Well, of course, if you look at the TARP and the AIG situation, it would require that much more than $50 billion if we were to end up in that sort of crisis mode again here. But what's the smart approach here? Both sides say we can't let this happen again. How do we make sure this doesn't happen again without soaking the taxpayer?
Well, we just need to make sure that big banks and big financial firms can fail without bringing down the rest of the economy. And there's a process for that that has not been used traditionally with banks and not consistently used with financial firms, and that's bankruptcy. We need to make a few modest changes to the bankruptcy process to make it more effective for financial firms. But then from then on, whenever a financial firm gets in trouble, send them to the bankruptcy courts where there are set rules, there are judges, and there's a method by which failure can be handled in the economy. Don't bail them out. Don't give them taxpayer money to soften the blow. Send them to the courts where these things can be sorted out.
Some say that's fine, but you still have some institutions that are so big and so powerful that if they get into a crisis mode, they would fall into the too-big-to-fail category, and so maybe you need to break them up right now. Is that something the government should be involved in?
No, I think a breakup of big firms just because they're big doesn't make any sense for a couple of reasons. First, there are benefits to consumers of big firms. It'd be as if you took a steel mill and said, well, we want to make mom-and-pop steel mills. Wouldn't it be nice if we had one on every corner like we do a grocery store? There are economies of scale for some things that where the size helps consumers. And frankly, even if we decided to break up big firms, that wouldn't change the industry. It would simply make the industry move offshore. They would move to London. They would move to offshore islands, the Bahamas and Bermuda. This is a global industry, and breaking up firms here simply would shift whatever problems there are to another place.
We're talking with James Gattuso of the Heritage Foundation. And James, this fund that we started talking about and really have been talking about for most of our conversation seems to be, at least the way the mainstream media is portraying it, is the main difference between Republicans and Democrats about the right way to go here. This is the big stumbling block. But as you look at the rest of the proposed legislation, what else do you see that you like or don't like? Is this really the only hurdle, or some other poison pills out there?
There are some other very serious problems with this bill. It provides for the government to be able to seize financial firms if they believe that they're near failure. Again, this is not a bankruptcy process. It's not a judge-driven process, but it would simply be a decision by the Treasury Secretary and other regulators that a firm was large and was close to failure. That would allow them to come in and take over the company. That's a violation of private property and as well as an invitation to abuse. There's also a provision in the bill that allows or requires a council of regulators to designate systemically significant firms whose failure would impact the economy. Now, that is meant by the authors apparently to trigger enhanced regulation, but it also triggers to the marketplace that these firms are so big the government won't let them fail. So in effect, it requires a too big to fail list to be created. The exact same thing the bill was supposedly meant to end.
James, if you're a business owner, whether it's a moderate or a large business, and you see what type of intervention the government might be granting itself here, what would your reaction be?
I would be very careful about investing. I'm afraid that would be the signal that is being sent, especially if I'm in the financial business. I would be careful about succeeding too well. I'd be careful about innovating, coming up with anything the government considers suspicious. It's going to stop creativity, stop innovation in the industry. And also because I think that the reforms or the regulation as a whole will make the banking sector less efficient, that there'll be less credit out there. So if I'm a small businessman, I would be worried about the availability of that loan that I would need to expand. I would be very worried about that being available in the future.
Well, James, if the Republican leaders are correct, this debate may be a long way from being over. They seem to think they have the votes to stop it in its current form. We'll see a little bit later today. Thanks very much for your time.
Sure, thank you.
James Cattuso is a senior fellow in regulatory policy at the Heritage Foundation. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.